Joining me on the line, it is Chris Colabello, former Toronto Blue Jay, and now the co-founder of Pelotero. Chris, before we get into all things baseball and your own journey, I was wondering if you could tell people just a little bit about the company that you co-founded.
Wow, you hit me right away with this. I wasn't expecting to talk about Pelotero, but I appreciate it.
Because you know what happens? The Weasley radio hosts, they ask you with 9 seconds left in the interview after they've mined you for all the content. Me, I go the other way. You join the show. And by the way, it will lead to the discussion I want to have with you today.
Perfect. Yeah. So basically, myself and Bobby Tewksbury, who Bobby threw the home run derby to Josh in 2015, he was, you know, well-documented, my, swing doctor. And we saw, like, the amount of data and tech that was being used in the game, and certainly at the amateur level, we don't think it's being leveraged properly for instruction. So basically, we take any data source and translate that into custom training for athletes.
And this can be used, like, can this be used for parents who've got kids that are, you know, training in high school or the university level?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a consumer product which can go right to a player. So say a mom's taking a video at a game on a Saturday, they can upload the video to our profile, and we'll run it through our algorithms, and it'll build a custom training program. Or on the facility and organization side, we can do the same thing where we have kind of a team model, which is cool. So we're just starting to really get out there now, which is cool, and it's a different challenge in my life, certainly, but I'm enjoying it.
Nice. So people can go to pelotero.com for more information. So if I let's say I had a video camera and I've been videotaping Bo Bichette for this entire year, and his numbers are down across the board. Now, you could expect a bit of a slippage. He's very young, and he had an incredible year last season, but there's been a noticeable drop in production. What advice would you give to try to help Bo Bichette?
Well, I've had the luxury of knowing Bo since he was, like, 14 years old. Close with the Bichette family. I've known Dante for a long time. Hitting and baseball aficionados, enthusiasts, if you will. And I think it's really hard, and I talked about this yesterday, it's really hard when you're a young player to not try to set a bar somewhere for yourself that is expectations, whatever it is, numbers, desire to go to the All-Star game, win, this, that, the other thing. And when you're young, you just haven't. Advice that Dante gave me at one point, which is kind of interesting that we're using it to relate to Bo. Dante said, you need 5,000 at-bats in your life before you're ready to hit in the big leagues. And it's really hard to get 5,000 at-bats if you think about it, especially at the amateur level, high school, college. You might get 150 or 200 a year if you're lucky. So getting up to that number is really difficult because you just face challenges that you didn't think that you might have to face at some point. And they usually are all related to emotion. So being able to detach the emotional side of the game and just go out and compete every day, day in and day out. Because then if you start out slow and you're trying to fix something or go back to an old cue or a feel that you might have and it's not working, that's generally where you get lost. And I've seen it happen to some of the best players in the world, guys that are borderline Hall of Famers or Hall of Famers, and guys that are, you know, 12, 13, 15, 18 years old. So nobody's immune to it, right? And for Bo, my biggest advice would be like, hey, you're the guy. Don't worry about a thing. Just go out and do something to help us win every day. And I think he's done a nice job of kind of like surviving at this point. And I think there's a big month in him somewhere, and maybe it'll all show up in the playoffs. And then, you know, everybody can kind of forget about, you know, what in his mind is probably a subpar year.
Oh, yeah, you're doing the playoffs, and we have very short memories as sports fans. Actually, I'm curious there, Chris. The ability to shut out emotion when you are at the plate, how much of that can you train yourself, and how much of that is just inside? Because that seems like a difficult thing to be able to compartmentalize at such a high-stress moment.
Well, you better be able to train it, and you better be able to put it into practice at times, and you have to learn it, because I don't think anybody's necessarily born with it, right? Depending on your upbringing or the way you're raised in the game of baseball, you might have, I guess, a little bit more detachment to statistical or performance, individual performance-based success. But, you know, I think to my own circumstances, right? And that's the only thing that I can reference in terms of my own ability to really pinpoint problems. And I think back to, you know, my dad and I's relationship, and my dad's my best friend and also my number one critic and biggest coach, most influential coach. And I put so many stress on myself when I was young that I had to be hitting X amount at every given point in the year. And for a long time, I didn't know how to deal with it when I wasn't. I learned to train myself, and it took time. And anybody that followed my career, followed my story, everybody saw what happened to me in 2016 when I got suspended. And I was trying to play baseball without my brain. I didn't have my brain, and my brain didn't allow me to detach from the emotions at the time because I was in basically clinical depression. I tell people all the time, like, can you imagine not having your greatest tool or the thing that you know is your greatest tool to be able to help you analyze, do critical thinking, things like that? And that's why I literally couldn't hit for a year, because everything reminded me of what was bad in my life. And so as players, we really have to do a good job. And I ask amateurs this all the time. I say, you know, you spend all this time in the weight room and you're not seated. You spend all this time in the cage or on the mound doing your plyo balls and all this stuff. Like, how much time do you spend with a sports psychologist? How much time do you spend reading books about how to deal with failures? And generally, the hardest part is you haven't experienced it yet, so you can't know what it's like. And until you experience it a lot of times, it's really, really hard to pinpoint how to fix something, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes a ton. Now, I wish we had 2 hours with you, because I'd like to just mine your own brain and experiences from how difficult 2016 was for you. But I'll go with this. It's sort of about that topic. Is it still hard now for athletes to go see a psychiatrist, a sports psychologist? I always feel that, you know, you go see your personal trainer to work on your upper body strength, going to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, you're there to work on your brain, which is just as important as your core. Is that still hard for athletes to do?
I think it's very, very hard to do. It's very, very hard as an athlete to admit that you're vulnerable to anything, right? Because if you look at the highest levels of sport and alpha males, the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, Major League Baseball, we're all the prototypical alpha, right? We don't ever want to show weakness or vulnerability or let anybody in to, you know, kind of see what's going on under the hood. So a lot of times what we do is we put up this front, right? We put up this front like we got it. We're all set. We don't need anybody's help. And it's literally probably the worst thing you could do. Because I found out that later on in my career, the more simple I made it about, like, just saying, yeah, you know what, I'm messed up, and I'm willing to admit it to myself. Because, like, the first and most important thing to do is be self-aware enough to know that you have a problem. And then you can go identify and you can go address it. The greatest hitters that I've ever been around, the greatest mentors that I've ever been around, never told me that they knew everything. They actually said, I don't really think I know anything, to be honest with you. It's the old adage of the more I know, the less I know. And ultimately, they were the ones that taught me that it's okay to not know, and it's okay to seek out help all the time. And now you have to blend that with this kind of innate confidence that you believe that you're the best player on the planet every day. And then generally, it's a good recipe for success.
God, also being a professional athlete means you have to have this incredibly high level of confidence and self-belief just to make it to the pros. And your story to the pros is a remarkable one. But then you have to have that side of your brain, but then to also be able to ask for help. I mean, that it's easy for me to ask for help because I've never had to grow up with that level of strong ego and confidence. That must be hard to ask for help when your entire life is based on having so much confidence.
Yeah, it's like a perfect blend of confidence and humility, right?
Yeah.
I tell guys this all the time. One of the things that was the most fascinating to me, and I had the luxury of playing with some pretty good hitters in Toronto, and I'll include myself in the conversation. We all had kind of a little different way of doing it, but I looked at Jose a lot, right? Because he was the guy. He was Toronto's guy. He was, you know, he was a swing change guy. We had a lot of similarities in our career path. Really bright dude, super intelligent. And him and I have maintained a really strong friendship over the years. And I think about Jose, and he came across to me as an opponent, as a player that was incredibly confident, right? And now he was also humble in his own right about how, you know, the game could, you know, on any given day, humble him and make him 0-for-4 with 3 punch outs. But then he also had these, like, little insecurities that were kind of interesting, and we all have them. Like, it's without a doubt, we all have them. As a matter of fact, I'd say players at the highest level probably have more than anybody would give them credit for. And it's an ability to kind of like mask those so they don't affect your confidence, right? Where, you know, say you take a called third strike, and there'd be times Hosey would take a called strike and he would be like, that wasn't a strike. And I'd go look at the video in the back and see that it was like in the box. It was like a ball on and a ball in from top of the zone. He'd be like, that wasn't a strike. And I'd come out and be like, kind of ease my way into the conversation and say, hey, Hosey, K-Zone had it a strike. And he'd be like, well, K-Zone's wrong. So imagine the ability to, and I was fascinated by it. I didn't really think he was trying to, like, fool anyone other than himself into not having his confidence affected him. You know what I mean? It wasn't, yeah. It wasn't like posturing. It was authentic, and it was a strike because I know it wasn't a strike type of thing, you know, if that makes any sense.
It makes a ton of sense. We're joined by Chris Colabello. Again, go to Pelotero.com to find out more of the work that he is now doing to help train the next generation of great athletes. All right, I'll leave you with this. And, Chris, I got to get you back on sometime. I've got like 17 more questions, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. On Sunday, in the ninth inning, Alejandro Kirk got a single, and he was 0 for 22. The streak is over. He gets a hit. And you could tell him on first base how happy he was. And then in the dugout, because they pitch ran for him, all the players were so psyched for him. And you could see that positive emotion. I'm curious, how tough is it? How tough is it to be in a slump like that? And how good does it feel when it ends?
Well, the funny thing is if you believe you're in a slump, you're in a slump. If you don't believe you're in a slump, then you're not in a slump. Okay. It's like not a real thing, right? It's not real. It's just, it's very difficult to go through it because everybody around you is pointing to it, right? Everybody around you is saying, oh, well, he's 0 for his last 14 or 0 for his last 18. And there's an answer that Donaldson gave to a question, and I'll never forget this. He was like 3 for his last 24, 2 for his last 24. And then the next day he went 3 for 4 with like a couple homers or something like that. And one of the reporters asked him, they said, hey, you know, what did you do different to get yourself out of the slump? And he looked at him kind of funny and he said, well, the last 24 at bats, they weren't throwing me good pitches to hit. And then today they did. And then I hit them. So it was like, it's just this matter of fact ability to just say, I have to understand as a player that I'm going to go through tough times in baseball. Like the math works. It's never going to change, right? Like you're going to hit 300, you're going to be great. So that means you're going to go through stretches where you're not quite as good as you want to be. And in a perfect world, we would all hit 300 for the whole year. We'd go 1 for 3 or, you know, 1 for 4, 1 for 3 every day. And then it would just kind of be simple. But the analogy that somebody used with me is like, it's like if you go to the casino to play blackjack and you win the first hand, that money's not yours yet because you haven't left the table. So you have to just keep grinding through it, and it's really an ability to detach from the results. And it certainly helps when you start out well and you can look up the scoreboard and see, you know, 330 or 340 next to your name as opposed to 114 or 118 or 188 or whatever it is. And then it's hard to dig out of the hole. It's not quite as hard when you're looking up and you still see a number that you don't hate. So it's the biggest challenge in all the sports. I'm telling you, like it's really, really difficult to deal with failures in baseball. I wrote an article about this the other night on our little community website that we have. And I said, it's just an incredible challenge to be able to say, I don't care about what happens tonight and understand that you're going to go through times like this so that you can shorten the window of how long they are. Because if you just go into the season knowing that you're going to have stretches where you're going to be bad, it becomes a little bit easier to swallow. And certainly if you make it more about helping your team win on any given night, then you're definitely more detached from your own results.
You can follow him on Twitter at CC20Rake. You can check out the work at Pelotero.com. Chris, this has been fascinating. I'd love to get you on again to, you know, not even really preview or review a Jays game, but really the psychology behind, you know, when a player is at bat. That's a stupid way to end this. When a player is at the plate facing a pitcher. We'll end it like that. The whole interview was good until the final 9 seconds. I really appreciate you joining the show.
Don't be so critical of yourself. You did just fine. I appreciate it.
I'm in a slump. I'm in an ending the interview slump right now. I got to get out of it.
Hey, you just got to show up tomorrow and go compete.
Damn right. Thanks so much, Chris.
You got it.
It is Chris Colabello, former major leaguer, and of course, with the Blue Jays had an incredible 2015.